Today's episode of the show is brought to you by videoblocks.com/instance2016, where you can get a great deal on unlimited downloads of video stock footage and audio for podcasters. We'll talk a little bit more about a special deal in the middle of the show. That's videoblocks.com/instance2016.
You are listening to The Instance.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Instance, episode, I think, 473. I may be off a number. I'm not totally sure. It's the holidays. What do I know? I don't know nothing.
What was it last time?
Let's see here. I could tell you.
If we knew what it was last time.
Yeah, then maybe it'd be fine.
Definitely figure out what this one is. By the way, have I not heard that intro?
It's old. It's our old Pandaria
one. I was about to say. It sounds legion-y.
Yeah.
It sounds a little more Pandaria-y.
Very Pandaria-y. Well, yeah.
Maybe Scott's been leveling his monk or something like that. He's in the mood.
By the way, there's a ton of Pandaria cards in Hearthstone right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Part of the new decks and stuff? Really?
We got the Hosen? Yeah. The friggin' Hosen are here.
Well, of course, they're the rat bastards, right? Yep. Of course those guys are in the mean streets of Gadgetzan. That makes sense to me. They're weasels.
I found it weird because I was like, where was the Pandaria connection with Gadgetzan? But all right, whatever.
No, that's a good point. They're just looking for scoundrels from all of the zones.
Yeah, I think the idea is that because what's happened since the Cataclysm, the city has grown.
Yes.
And there's been a lot of opportunity and a lot of new people heading there. Mm. You know, all the existing lore characters, obviously, they're embedded and they're happy where they are. But, you know,
It's a hive of scum and villainy.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I guess what I'm saying is...
You want to buy some death sticks? So I'd love some, please. Thank you.
I'm just saying if you look at Pandaria with the broadest possible perspective and you try to find
Pandiria.
The... Pandiria. Yeah, if you're looking at Pandiria and you're trying to find the meanest, rudest, maybe would rip you off, you know, race or class in that expansion, I think you'd go Hosen. Yeah, you got to go Hosen. Because look at them. Yeah. They're these angry little pissy monkeys.
Ookie right in the duker.
Right.
Yeah. I mean.
What happens, man?
Right when you're not looking. We'll talk more about that expansion later. I know you guys have been wallowing in cards, and I'm very curious how that process has gone as opposed to previous expansions. But
We will talk, Scott.
Yeah. I know you're not happy.
Many a bridge with Blizzard tonight, good sir.
You're not happy.
Uh-oh. Many a bridge will be burned.
It's not.
It's fine.
It's because you're European, dude. You got screwed.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I get it. I get it. I do. You know, we made our bed back in 1776, and we're still being made to lay in it. You know, people are saying like, oh, you know, we'd love to give you the cards the same time as America. It's just, you know, you tried to tax our tea.
Mm-hmm. And the whole not cool other with that button still. We have to push.
Exactly.
You know?
We're still a little bit annoyed.
So hold on. So we may as well just talk about it.
Let's jump straight in.
Somebody got a ton of free cards and you
didn't. Yesterday, Gadgetzan came out, okay?
Yep. Yeah.
At 5 p.m. GMT, over in America, you could start opening packs. In Europe, though, we didn't get it for like another, what was it, like 8 hours or something?
All right.
So we were significantly behind the Americans, which was frustrating for me. You know, I was streaming at the time. I was thinking like, oh, I'm excited. Everyone said to me, it's out. I'm like, great. I load it up. It's not out. It's out in America.
Yeah.
And so everyone else, you know, Amaz and all these other big guys are, oh my God, look at this, a card. You know, opening all their packs. And I'm just sitting there looking at my packs, just wrapped up saying early December. I'm like, I know it's now, but it's not. And the thing is, you know, the way people on Team 5 have put it to me before is like, hey, don't feel bad. You know, just think of America like your beta test. It's fine. You know, we're going to iron out those bugs and then we'll make sure it's great when you get it. And the problem is they were kind of right this time in that there was a problem with the packs. So the packs gave an increased chance of getting the tri-class cards, which are the new kind of gimmick behind this expansion where you get a card that's available to be played by three classes.
Sure.
And that
was 33% higher chance to get the tri-class cards, of which there are only 9 total.
So you got a lot of tons and tons of
duplicates were being opened.
Lots of dupes.
Yeah.
So obviously people then were a little bit upset and Blizzard was like, hands up, whoops, we messed up. And so they fixed it.
Mm.
And so what they did then to compensate the people who had received that problem is they then gave them 33% of their card packs back, you know, again.
So if, they kept 33% of the packs you'd opened while the bug was live. Ready. Yes.
Yeah.
So if you were, you know, a super hardcore Hearthstone fan, you're there day one, minute one, you're opening packs, you then get of your 100, 150, you know, because you've spent a lot of time and money in this game and you're excited about it, you then get, say another 50. You know, Maz, I think, got like 300. No, Crip got 300 packs.
Crip bought 1,000 packs that he opened. And then he got, 330-something packs or whatever.
So he got a load of extra stuff. Yeah. You know, obviously, you know, you look at the first set of cards, you're getting a lot of dupes. So you got a lot of dust in that first round. And then you get a load of proper packs. So in essence, you've got this a third free packs and converted to dust. And I don't know. It kind of is one of those things. I'm sure Blizzard would come out with some math formula and be like, actually, it's no different. But it feels to me like there was an opportunity for me as someone who has a lot of packs to have got more packs.
You've
for
gotten
free.
More cards.
And,
yeah,
exactly. And the things I don't know. So, I mean, I did okay. I had 100 packs. I got 6 legendaries.
Wow.
I got,
that's really good. 22
epics. You know, I'm above the kind of the luck curve.
Sure.
I kind of feel like, oh, man, I kind of feel like maybe I would have got somewhere of the way there anyway. Mm. But ultimately, I'd have the same thing on the whole, but with a heck of a lot more dust to then go and make the other stuff that I want to get, I missed out on. Mm. And so from Blizzard's
perspective, I don't think you're wrong, dude. I think absolutely we got a little bit extra. So I think what it would have been cool is give the other regions like 10% of whatever packs they got within the first day or something like that to like make up
just
for
something.
It.
Exactly.
Because I did open a bunch of extra dude. Like we were checking because me, Garrett, and Joss opened all our packs at the same time. And every single one of us, when you go to the collection afterwards, on all the tri-class cards, it said 9+, right? So we opened 9+ of each of them. Not all of them, because 3 of them are legendaries. So that was hard to get, obviously. You still have to roll a legendary. Then it's a 33% higher chance to roll the tri-class legendary, right?
Hmm.
So we definitely opened more of those than you were supposed to. And so we did get screwed. We did get compensated. And I think the compensation more than made up for it in a way where, I think Terpster, you're right. You and I guess
and to be
Asia
honest with you, I don't think exactly. I think it's less so. It just kind of exacerbates that annoyance I have that I have to wait longer. And we have it when, you know, the adventure modes come out. So the adventure mode comes out and I see all of the other people on Twitch playing the game before I can. And that's just really frustrating as someone who loves the game and wants to play the game to be in a scenario where it's like, I get why you do it, Blizzard. It's because it's easier. And that's that kind of, to me, it feels a bit like I'm not really that fussed about how easy it is for you. As a consumer of your game and someone who spends, you know, a heck of a lot of money on it, I kind of want to get the premium experience that other people get.
So what do you think? I was going to ask you, what do you think the reason is for the delay? Is it simply because it's easier? Is it a server thing?
It's you know, time zone wise. Mm-hmm. If they're doing it globally, you know, do they have enough people over here ready to do it? Do they have, you know, again, for this issue, you've got to look at it from their internal perspective. Holy crap, guys, we would have to done 33% additional free packs, aka lost revenue, globally, whereas they've just done it for one region. So they've minimized their financial exposure there. They've minimized, you know, if there was, if it wasn't a kind of a satisfactory compensation for players out there, they've minimized all of that to one area. Mm. And so in many ways, again, America is the beta test. It's where they make their mistakes. It's on their time. They can fix it responsively. And then they can make sure that for everyone else, they get the experience that they intended. Mm. It's just frustrating in a world where it's in my language, my friends and other broadcasters, I see them playing it, and it's very frustrating to not be able to then play it as well.
Yeah,
and that's just the thing. It's a very first world problem. It's one of those things that certainly isn't the biggest problem in Hearthstone, but it's just one of those things. It just felt like, oh, man, I kind of feel like I was screwed by not getting screwed. Mm. You know, that's the thing. Is I don't know. Anyway, it's
but
fine.
That's better. That's better than the alternative, though, of them giving us nothing back after screwing us.
No,
right?
Oh, 100%, exactly. Yeah. And nor do I think that we should get the same. Obviously, if we weren't subject to the same things, that's silly. But I think, it would be nice if we got, you know, as a you know, for it was 8 hours delayed. Here's 8 free packs.
Yeah,
you know, something like that. I'd be like, oh, you know what? That's cool. You know, in the grand scheme of things, I'm up. you know, yeah, I didn't get to play it quite as quickly as everyone else, but I feel like actually that was actually probably a good thing. You know, I got these extra packs. Oh, I got that legendary in that pack as well. Mm. You know, I just feel like that works out.
But the result of the goof over here is proof, is all the proof they need that they're doing this right and that they shouldn't do
the
problem.
And that's
launches.
The problem. Exactly. Exactly. Because it's not right. It's easier.
Yeah.
Because, and it does minimize their risk and exposure, but equally so would if they tested it further and spent more time and money testing it. But then equally they're doing right by the players in some way by getting it out as quick as possible.
Yeah.
They said sometime early December, it was on December 1st. You can't get any earlier. You know, they did it. They did amazing with that. And if they sat on it and tested it for another couple of days, we're all losing out. We're all missing out on there. Mm. And it's, I said at BlizzCon how I was a bit sort of like, about the expansion. I don't really feel, is a, you know, playing it, holy crap, amazing.
Yeah,
it's one of those things where their model of drip feeding cards is terrible.
Yeah.
Because you can't get excited about it because you see six cards. And it's like, here's six cards. And we're going to talk about our kind of ideas behind it all. It's like if they came out day one and was like, Jade Golems, check them out. Boom. And then they're like, you know, like I've been playing Pirate Warrior. It is the most simple, aggressive deck I've ever played. You win or lose a game by turn five. I went on like an 8-win streak earlier. I'm at like rank 15 after like 40 minutes play. It's obscene. It's absolutely, but it's so fun to play. Mm. And you still come up against a mid-range shaman and lose all the time. Mm. But it's fun and you lose quickly and you play quickly. But it's a very different play style to other aggro warriors out there. It's a lot faster. I got Patches, the pirate, out of my packs, who is a 1-1-1 pirate that when you play a pirate gets shot out of your deck via a cannon onto the
straight
field
onto
with charge.
The, yeah, straight onto
it's
the field.
Hilarious.
By the way,
yeah.
Biggest thing ever is I forget to attack with him every single time. I play a pirate and I just
and
end
then you
turn.
Just end turn. I've done that a couple of times. Yeah.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
again, it's those silly little things that it's just it makes it so fun to play. And I feel like, you know, Hearthstone needs to keep shaking it up a bit. Mm. And I think that the sticking to the same release style of, hey, we're going to give this streamer this card. They're going to look at it and tell me why it's shit. You know, it's just it really bothers me as well. It's like some kind of streamer being like, oh, well, I mean, given this card, it's a 6-mana 4/3. It's never going to see play. And then it turns out it's the best card in the game.
Yeah. You can't do that stuff in a vacuum, can you? Like those.
No, exactly. Yeah. I think just get them all out there, put them out. Jobs are good.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
I'm salty because I'm second place.
Yeah.
And that's never a good place to be as a passionate player.
Yeah.
But
Terpster's tilted. He lives in a world where he gets all the. The Marvel movies early, but not so much with the cards from Hearthstone.
I would happily, if there was parity there, I would love there to be parity.
Mm. Would you? You'd fight for us, our right to see Captain America?
I would love to. Okay. I'd love to. I think the reason you don't is because we have tax breaks for the films over here, which mean they have to come out first for them to be considered like a UK shot film.
Oh,
so
I didn't know that.
That's why they come out early over here, is because they get to shoot it cheaper here. Because it's a UK film.
I had no
even
idea.
Even obviously it's a Marvel film. I know.
Sure. Oh, that's crazy. I didn't realize that. Well, all right. We learn something new every day. But overall, I mean, Dills, your take on the expansion also good? You're liking it? Fun?
Yeah, super fun. I streamed for like 12 hours yesterday. probably way more than I should have. Should have gone to bed long before I did. But there was too many things to do. Mm-hmm. Too many decks to try out. There's just so much going on. And it's, it's like, I think it's just the fun factor of this expansion is really, really high. Mm. You know, like TGT, the grand tournament, there's a lot of interesting cards. There's a lot of new mechanics. They didn't really add any new mechanics. They just put in cards that were just, they're just wacky and kind of out there. Mm. And they allow you to create decks that you couldn't previously create. And try things out. You couldn't, like, now you can really do an aggro paladin. You can really do a pirate warrior. You can really do a murloc shaman. You can really do whatever. All the weird stuff. Dragon, priest. Like, you can really get down your themes. And I think that's what Hearthstone kind of needs, right? Is to just let, like, what we've been kind of sick of mid-range shaman, right? That's been the thing forever. Mm-hmm. So, and that'll probably still be the thing. It's still pretty good.
It's still really good.
Yeah. But now you can at least, like, when you have fun, there's so much synergy you can put in that the deck is just kind of good regardless, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's how a card game really shines, is when you can build a theme deck, go in there and be like, yeah, this is what I'm doing. I'm the Murloc guy. I'm the Weenie guy. I'm the whatever, you know, and have fun. And not just be like, well, I'm the guy who puts in the best statted cards for the least amount of mana. And, you know, that's not as fun. So,
yeah, and long term,
fantastic job.
If it's just a min-max experience forever, that's that isn't a long-term strategy. And I think you what you guys say makes sense. Like, if they are doing, I feel like they do this in a lot of their games. They'll do this in games where even WoW has experienced some of this, where they'll be like, all right, it's a little bit less about making sure all the math lines up. And it's a little more about, is everyone having a good time or not?
Yeah, sure. It's all about the fun.
Yeah, back to that whole gameplay first thing, you know, remembering their number one motto and then getting back to it. And so
I think seems to get forgotten a lot, Scott. Yeah. So, you know, each their own.
Think globally. Well, what they meant was, you know.
Think about it and then acknowledge, yeah, we're good. We're cool with that. We're content with the level of service we're giving.
Yeah. Thinking globally is different than releasing globally, for sure.
But we did think, you know.
I thought, do you think we're screwing these guys? I think we probably are. Okay.
Maybe.
Cool.
Maybe a little
as
bit.
As long as we acknowledge that. Yeah. Let's move on.
Well, good job, Team 5. You appear to have made a lot of people happy with
amazing. Yeah, but again, really, you know, launch aside, a phenomenal expansion.
Yeah.
Really just so much fun. If you haven't played Hearthstone in a while, it's a great time to come back. Always at the start of an expansion like this is a really good time to come back.
Yeah. So what would you say to a new, let's say not new player, but let's say somebody who dabbled some in the beginning and then fell off. Mm-hmm. If you say it's a good time to come back in, what is it that they're going to benefit from? Do they need to spend $100 to get anywhere? Like where, you know, what are they going to do day one when they come back? How are they going to get back in?
I would say buy some cards, as hollow as that sounds. Mm. You know, that's certainly the best way to get started. You know, you can get a nice bundle, 40 packs, which will get you going. Or equally, if you've got old decks and you haven't been around for a while, you may find you can dust a lot of wild cards if you want to play in standard, which is where most people have their fun. Mm. Then that would be great. We've got a new season starting in the new year. So some of the cards are going to rotate out, and that'd be really fun. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a great time to come back.
All right.
Yeah. No, I think so too. I think Terpster's right though. If what you're hoping to do in Hearthstone is not spend any money and be totally competitive, then I've got bad news for you. Mm. That's not how card games work. Yeah, ever. It's never worked that way. It's not going to work that way this time.
Yeah.
You really, I mean, if you want to play a card game, you gotta shell out a little bit of cash. So don't worry about it. It's a fun game.
If you really want to put the time in theory, you can do it for free. But you need to play every single day, do all the quests.
I know lots of free-to-play players, and they're fine. They've just been playing for a long time. But if you start now and you want to be a free-to-play player, just expect that you're not going to have all the cards.
Like, it's going to take you a long time,
But you can play Arena every day. You can do some quests. You know, you can do all that kind of stuff. Tavern Brawl is fantastic for getting quests done. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's plenty to do. It's just understand that to really like have, you know, to have all the cards means, I mean, I spent $120 yesterday, you know, and I have basically all the legendaries at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I also play all the friggin' time.
Yeah. So it's like that game is a lifestyle, not just a game.
Yeah. That's kind of what it is.
Right.
But you can do it casual still, and you know, with tavern brawls and stuff, you get some packs, you get to do some things. It's definitely worthwhile.
Yeah, and the team's got to make money, so they're not going to give you the stuff for free, folks.
Oh, well, I don't know if they make the most money. You know,
yeah,
they certainly make a lot of money.
Well,
it's hard to compete with WoW's, you know, millions of players paying, you know, $15 a month or whatever it is.
Right.
But if you consider, you know, deals yesterday spent 150 or whatever that was.
Yeah.
You know, it's quite easy to see how quickly things add up.
Right. Plus it's, you could argue there's I'm not trying to minimize the work they're doing there. They're obviously doing amazing work, but their cost to launch everything and do everything is lower. They have a smaller team, than the rest of the, you know, most of the other teams in the company. It's gotten a lot bigger recently. It has gotten bigger, yes, but it's still less than most of them, and that means things cost less, and therefore this is even more profit on top of that. So yeah, they're doing fine. They're doing great. And that's good. And, you know, I think part of why you guys seem to echo it, but part of the reason why this particular expansion feels like a gameplay injection, like a fun injection, is because I have to imagine on the long tail of an expansion, card sales go way down. You know, there's got to be at some point there's a saturation point where people who were going to spend money on cards have.
They got them all. Yeah.
Yeah. And they've got them all. And now everyone's playing for free across the board, even though some of you invested money up front to play, you know, later, you're still now playing for free again. And that tail ends. So they got to shake it up. So
they make their money in chunks, right? Every time they put a release out.
Yep.
It's here's a new chunk of money.
Yep.
Between that, there's not a lot coming in.
Yeah.
Although recently they did do the Heroic Tavern Brawl, which I don't know if we talked about on the show.
We did a little. How did that end up? I mean, I don't know. Obviously, we don't know how internally it was perceived. But
the most expensive three packs I ever bought, Scott.
Right.
But let's not talk about it.
Well, so the way it worked is you could pay $10 or 1,000 gold, and then you could play essentially like arena with your constructed decks. And if you won 12 times, you got like 100 or whatever, 50 packs, 3 golden legendaries, like 1,000 something gold back. It's crazy rewards, you know. Mm-hmm. And they started out saying you could only do it 5 times.
Yeah.
And then they quickly lifted the limit to 100. So I think a lot of people were doing it.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, suddenly it was like, oh, you could do it 100 times, you know. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I'm sure they made a lot of money there. So if that comes back as like a consistent feature,
yeah,
a consistent button to push, there's a lot more money to be made in the in-between times, I think.
Sure.
So
I'm very curious how that went for them. It was really, I think it was just on the high end of things. I think like a $5 entry thing might be a little more palatable for most players or whatever.
Yeah, I agree. I think, yeah, make it scalable, honestly, and scale the rewards, you know?
Yeah.
Make it from like 2 to 10.
Sure.
And the high rollers can still buy in for 10 or something like that.
Yeah.
And then
it's a very
everybody else can buy in for $2.
It's a very pokery thing minus the actual gambling part. Them to do.
And we had a discussion about that on the Angry Chicken. It's not gambling because you can't get money out. So.
Right. I think we talked about it a bit last time.
Yeah, I think we talked about it on this show too.
I don't know. I mean, you don't put that much effort into making a one-off tavern brawl.
Yeah.
And that's 100% them trialing out that as a permanent mode in terms of a tournament type mode where you pay money in and play, and there's prize pools that are probably in-game rewards, but maybe one day we'll see actual kind of real money as well.
Could be.
But
yeah.
100% that's going to come back as a permanent part of the game in some way.
I agree. They don't test that without, I mean, that wasn't just some fluky, hey guys, what do you think about this week? We just do this. There's thinking behind that one. So we'll see how it goes. All right. Well, there's your world of Hearthstone as it currently stands as of the week of December 1st, 2016. Big stuff afoot for the game of Hearthstone. Let's dive into the rest of today's news. All right, World of Warcraft, a soft bad luck cap on legendaries was removed. What this did was basically made it for people like me who have horrendous luck getting any legendaries. I still, by the way, don't have my first legendary, which really bugs me.
I don't either, Scott. Yeah. It upsets me.
Really bothers me. However, you and I have now had that bad luck cap removed. Well, I guess everyone's had it removed. So the bottom line is this: everybody should be getting legendaries on a regular clip now. Maybe too fast in some cases. They said this in a quote: "What we genuinely did not anticipate was just how much some of the very most dedicated players would play, mainly in pursuit of artifact power. By mid-November, we started to hear questions about whether there was some sort of 4 legendary limit. And we realized that there existed a group of players that had done so much content that they actually had an expected legendary count of around 4. They hadn't needed to be unusually lucky to get there. Note, this is a very small group, they said. They're overrepresented in these discussions because this issue concerns them, but we're really talking about hundreds of people out of millions. Anyway, bottom line was a lot of people got that stuff early. The rest of us were like, well, shit, what's wrong with me? Turns out there's millions of what's wrong with me players, and even lately I'm hearing from people who get like 2 legendaries a night, like just got lucky.
What, they playing Diablo?
Well,
yeah, that sounds like the wrong game.
That sounds nuts.
Yeah, somebody in our own, it was Spencer HD, I think, who got, I think that's right. Spencer, you have to correct me if I'm telling this wrong, but I'm pretty sure he got they were 2 different tunes, but got them in the same evening. And generally speaking, in our guild, we're hearing about a much higher rate of those things dropping. And also, for people who raid a lot and wipe a lot, you're not seeing this change because you're not getting rewards because you're wiping, right? So,
Scott, what are you trying to say?
I'm saying that's
me. I am. I'm getting the reward of friendship. We're bonding. Uh-huh. You know, we're achieving stuff eventually, maybe.
Yeah.
And then, you know what? The great thing about it is it's Raid Finder, and we're still sucking.
Yeah.
So it's fine.
I think a feature they should add for Karazhan is that you can hold hands while you run back.
Nice.
Because that run back.
I'd like that.
Yeah. That run back is ridiculous.
It's pretty bad. You mean the one in, which run back?
In new Karazhan.
Oh, yeah. It's bad.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's you bad. Freaking get to, like, the second boss, you die.
Yeah.
All the way back.
Do you feel like it's like a reminder of how things used to be? Like, remember Karazhan back in the day when you had to run 600 miles to get anywhere? It's a bit of that going on.
Uphill as well. That was the thing as well, if you remember.
Emerald Nightmare had stuff like this in it where it was just too long of a run. Like, we would be, I don't know, I can't remember what fight it was. It's a big spider bird fight. And you'd have to, if you died, or if you had to go to the stone and, like, summon somebody in, there's a huge swath of it where you can't ride a mount, but then there's little parts of it where you can ride a mount. Real goofy the way that thing was made. But yeah, maybe they're thinking it's back in. Hey, welcome back to 2004, everybody. Lots of run backs. Get on your feet and start running, because
we heard you guys wanted classic Vanilla Realms. Well, we're going to meet you halfway, and we're going to have insane corpse runs. It's like, oh, yay. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, fellas. Also, there's I heard somebody, this is a pretty good joke because you just reminded me of because of the legacy servers thing. What WoW needs to do, their next expansion needs to be called World of Warcraft Legacy. I don't care what the story is or where we're at then, but just call it Legacy so that when you're in chat rooms watching Ian Hazzikostas interviews and people are spamming the chat with the word Legacy, now it is a positive thing because they're just chanting the name of the new expansion and they can't wait for it. Do you see how that all switches on them? Ha ha ha, see? It's like making the word, the word jerk suddenly means...
I like how, you know, Blizzard's basically playing chess while the rest of us be playing checkers. I like that. That's good. That's beautiful next level Blizzard trolling.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I don't know. I mean, I'm fairly certain they're never going to do legacy servers because it's like them saying, hey, we're going to make another MMO, which they're never going to say.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. Yeah. They don't want to make another MMO.
You don't think they'll even have like a so Blizzard has
just
shown,
think about customer support.
I totally agree. That alone would be a nightmare. But I'm gonna let me play devil's advocate and then you answer this. Here's my thinking. I don't think
that
they ever
like
go
a great expansion name by the way. As well.
So yeah, devil's advocate. World of Warcraft. Devil's advocate. Pretty good. So I would. Ooh, Diablo could be the bad guy in the next WoW expansion. Think of that.
Ah, man, it's a mixed universe.
Yeah, I like it.
And Trace is there, and she says, cheers, love. Help me get back to Overwatch. Yeah, stuff like that, yeah.
Wow, that was a 90-year-old Tracer that I just heard.
That's what she's like, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's how she grows, man. Don't judge her.
So here's my thinking. They don't go full legacy. They don't do the whole, like, here's vanilla servers.
Never go full legacy.
Yeah, they'd never do that. But here's what they could do. And again, this is based on what we've seen them do with all their other properties. They have been willing to say in Overwatch, for example, hey, we're going to have this arcade mode. Started out as a weekly brawl, but now they're all moved over here. And in that arcade mode are all these kind of...
Yeah, we got that, though.
No, well, that's my... Well, what? What do we
have?
We
got that coming. We've got the arcade, you know, what are they calling it? You know, the random brawl stuff.
In what?
We got
in
brawls
what?
Coming to WoW.
Oh, we do? Wait, what?
They're going to do the... you know, PvP brawls.
Oh, that. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I got you there. But my thinking is, like, why not have a, like, weekly brawls in Hearthstone, which is kind of like this weird test bed. You have the brawl system now that's in Heroes of the Storm. Really, all their games outside of Diablo have something like this. And I guess StarCraft. But even that has an arcade, and it's kind of the same idea. A place to do stuff that's just not part of the game. Like, it's just not part of the core game, but it's a place to go dick around and do stupid stuff. And why not say, oh, here's a portal that's in every major city or whatever, and it takes you to this place where the rules are all vanilla rules. Your stuff's the same, you look the same, the new models are all there. Like, we're not going to aesthetically turn everything back to 2004 or server structure or any of that other
you
stuff.
You can only... turn in 8 different directions. I see where you're going with this.
Okay, maybe actually now that you say that, now that you say that, Diablo kind of has that too, I guess now. So that's the, but that's my point. Like giving people a playground where they can be presented with these old rule sets, and I agree that an MMO is a weird place to ask for this, because you're talking about it's a different thing. It's a giant world. It isn't just a little room to go play cards in. It's like a giant world. So I'm playing Devil's Advocate.
People. Do people say like, oh yeah, that's exactly what I wanted. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm with my friends and it's like, oh, and I don't have responsibilities anymore. I'm 16 again. I'm 20. Yeah. Oh my God, this is great. I think the problem with Classic Realms is that just for Blizzard to do them in Blizzard's way just isn't possible. Yeah. There's just not a way for them to deliver the Blizzard experience, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah. Also, I don't think the behavior of the people they invited out to discuss this post that discussion would make me as Blizzard want to do jack shit for them.
Yeah, but it's not about them. It's about, you know, the other players, you know, the actual player base. You know, is this something that people want? I think the reality is people would like it. But again, logistically, how would you as a company support two products? Or say you start going to Burning Crusade and then Wrath, and you've got all these different SKUs in line. They're all running different code. It's all at different stages. It, logistically, it'd just be horrible for them.
Yeah, plus all of us here, we've all said on the record, and so has Patrick, that we would it would be super cool to see this.
I'd log in, I'd play.
Yeah.
And
for a week or two.
He'd log right back out. Yeah, I mean, it is, but devil's advocate aside, I completely agree. There's no way they ever do this. It doesn't make any sense to their interests, to the way they make games. Whether you agree or not that the game is better and has progressed, or it was way better back in the day for whatever reasons you think it was, it doesn't matter. It's not in the business model. And unless you are all the players demanding a thing.
But again, the game is good enough. It doesn't need to go after those players that would only come back and subscribe and play old game.
Right.
And those are a fickle bunch.
They've been pretty like welcoming and nice to the player base that has been requesting us. It's like, I mean, to me, it's almost like it's like inviting like friggin' Baron's chat to like Blizzard, like for a tour.
That's exactly what
some
it
of
was.
These people have been.
Yeah.
You know,
you're that's like, exactly
hey,
right.
Reaching out to Baron's chat, come on in, guys. It's like some of these guys have been awful, you know, and they've still been like lending, you know, putting their hand out, saying, "Hey, tell us what you want. Tell us what it would be like." And Blizzard's always kind of been that way, which is cool.
They did their full due diligence to reach out to those guys.
Yeah, they
absolutely
really
did.
They really, really did. You know, and like we on the Angry Chicken, we complain about the fact that there's no tournament mode in Hearthstone. We've been complaining for, you know, 3 years, right, about the fact that there isn't one. And it could come across as whining to some people. But you know what? I've actually had a whisper from a Blizz dev. Tell me what you think tournament mode would look like. And I'm interested to hear and that kind of stuff. And they've kind of always been that way as a game company, which they don't have to be, you know?
Yeah. I think they take
There's no man's skies out there where they just put out a crap game and then turn off.
Yeah, they
that's fine. You know? No, then they come back.
It's okay. Pretty amazing.
I need to load
okay,
that.
Okay, guys, we did a big patch.
I need to load that.
It was actually
up.
Pretty cool. Good, by the way.
We cool. But, yeah. We cool.
I want to load that up and see what those changes are. But anyway, I agree. Well, yeah. One of their mantras is every voice matters, and everyone assumes that means that just within the company every voice matters, and that's true. But I think that they extend that out. I've always felt that way. Like I've always felt like our feedback, what we say on the show matters. Like how many times has Holinka piped up on Twitter and said, "All right, I heard you guys talking about this PvP thing. Here's the problem, or what do you think about this?" Or you know, like he engages in that conversation. Nobody has to do that. So.
And he gets a lot of love back from that. Obviously, a lot of people, people angry PvPers, they just say, man, Holinka, he's my BFF. And he's got their back. He's listening to him more than most.
Popular man at Blizzard.
Yeah.
It's tough, man.
Yeah, it's a tough hard job that guy has. I don't know how he...
It's not easy.
I know what he does.
Anybody in charge of balance in any game.
I would just be saying to Blizzard, look, guys, danger money. I need danger money. That's what it is. That's what it's come down to.
Danger money?
Yeah.
All right.
I need danger money. I'm out there. People are sending me death threats on Twitter. They're taking it serious.
Sure.
You know, because they know I do actually want to, you know, ruin their day. I want to ruin their class. I'm going to invent this new PvP mode. It's just going to be so Care Bear. Mm. Oh, my God. You know.
Did you notice nobody? I didn't see anybody at BlizzCon, like any of the higher-ups, with bodyguards this time
around. Socialize with Brian Hlinka.
No, yeah, you're right. No, no, no. They were like, because, you know,
he's a bullet magnet. He's walking around that place. People, they've got it out for him.
Yeah, I don't know how they, I mean, I think he made a real brave.
Have you actually noticed the bodyguards before?
Yeah.
I've never noticed the bodyguards.
Oh, yeah. Well, Chris, I met Chris's, and they were nice, but they were like Navy SEAL looking beasts of men. They looked like they could murder me with looking at me. So he had them for a couple of years there, and then I just assumed that that meant like everybody else did, but I never saw.
It's obviously Metzen, old Diva Metzen. That's what it is.
Well, Chris, I mean,
like,
he
you know,
does
hey
get...
guys, I'm sorry, but you know, I'm a big deal. It's like
he gets swamped.
Get it, Chris.
He gets swamped. Yeah, he so I think
in all fairness, 90% of the time it was me, and I'm harmless. You know, I come across enthusiastic, but maybe verging on a point of fear.
Yeah.
But you know, each their own.
I think Hlinka was brave to get up on our live podcast with the Angry Chicken guys and say a bunch of things on a microphone when really. People don't really know what Hlinka looks like. I mean, he doesn't go out of his way to make sure there's a face to
He's
match the name.
He's got a Twitter avatar. People know what he looks
sure
like.
Sure he does. But my point is that I think he was a brave soldier that day. Like he really, you know, he took one for the team. He really put himself out there. Here's some song music for this.
He should. Oh, there you go. Exactly.
Yeah, just kidding.
Honestly, he should get pay rise because anyone who's kind of just, you know, kind of left out there. You know, they should get a pay rise.
That's
He's
right.
mad.
That's right.
Cray.
It is Cray. All right. What else? So enough about legendaries. I don't know. I'm sure I'll get one. I mean, if I'm honest, the holidays here in the States, we had Thanksgiving and stuff kind of messed me up on most of my game time. A lot of time was spent in Heroes trying to get the bonus stuff that you were getting for the crossover with Overwatch and the skins. And
oh, nice.
Characters
Have you
and
got
stuff.
Your Genji skin?
Yeah, I did all that. So you did, nice. You did 15 games for that. And then you also got Zarya for free in Heroes if you did that. And then if you went on to 30 games, you got a ton of extra Heroes which I already owned, but you got 30-day stim pack and some other stuff. Anyway, I ended up doing
you
it all.
You get the gold? Is it like do you get the gold value of the Heroes or
I
do you just
think
nothing?
Not, but you do get that mount, that really rad hover mount thing. And something else. What was it? There's a whole list, I forget. But we did it, it was no problem. And also that game's in a really good place right now, so it wasn't like it was work. It was a blast, and I spent most of my time in there, so not a lot of time in Warcraft. So I say, oh, woe is me, I don't have a legendary, but it's not like I've been in there every 5 minutes either.
It's like, hey, I do my emissaries, come on, where's my legendary?
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I know it's gonna be one time I'm gonna go to, you know, High Totem or something like that, and they're gonna be there with that legendary in the box and yeah. Say here you go, bro.
Yeah.
That's and I'll where, be like, why are you smiling when you gave me this box? What's this box? Oh, man, you didn't. That'd be crazy.
My buddy.
Wouldn't it be better for Winter Vale if we all got given legendaries?
Oh, that'd be amazing. Just a little gift in the mail. I'd love that.
Just bam.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Old man Christmas giving like, me a little something there. My buddy Bo from the Core Podcast got his two legend. He's got two of them, and he got them both from Emissary Quest. So that is a place to get them for sure. Let's see. Oh, some guilds got banned. I don't know if you guys heard about this. Raiding guilds. They were temporary.
No.
good riddance, Dill says. That's the headline. Dill says, good riddance to banned guilds. Anyway, there were some bans handed out for an exploit with Mythic Helia in the new raid content.
Oh, yeah.
And many have responded. I want to read one specifically from a team.
Yeah, this is kind of messed up, actually.
Yeah, so this is Limit. The team is Limit. They are North American Championship PvE guild. They're kind of a big deal, and they said this. Here's our official statement regarding our Mythic Helia kill and the temporary suspension that we've been issued. So here's the quote. Before Mythic was released, we discovered that you could avoid a single breath by having your tank die during the cast. If you know this fight, you know what it means, the Helia breaths. We planned to do this. In P3 to our advantage. To our surprise, when we got to P3 on Mythic, doing this caused the boss to never cast breath again. Whereas in P1, it functioned as you would expect. Immediately upon seeing this, we reported the bug, tweeted Watcher on Twitter, and we knew that it would not, or sorry, and we knew we'd not could not kill the boss this way. After progressing for 300 plus pulls without abusing the bug and getting very close to a kill, mind you, we learned from scratch that Exorcist had killed the boss this way, seemingly with no consequences. We decided that if guilds were not beating us to the bug, I don't know what that means, or beating us using the bug, we gave in and did it too. It took roughly 5 pulls to kill it. Obviously, we deserve the ban. We did exploit the breath.
So I mean, they reported it, and then they did the 300 times. Like, if all that's actually true,
yeah,
then I don't think they deserve the ban, honestly.
I mean, I don't know what the limit is. Like, you could say, well, if you pull 400 times and don't get it, then no ban. But if you do 300 or less, then you do. I mean, like, I don't know where that line is.
But reporting it, I think, is the key here. It's like...
I think, yeah. But at the same time, they still did it. And the reality is that it's kind of like, you know, hey, guys, you know, using that analogy from before. Hey, look, there's a load of money left in the street. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, everyone else is helping themselves.
I called the cops, told them I found a bunch of money, and then I took it out.
Crap, here I go. Go get my rubbish sack. Here we go. You know, it's just, that's just the nature of the beast. Like, you know, they knew they were doing wrong. They did wrong. Mm. And then they got upset because they were punished for doing wrong. And I get it. Like, it's super frustrating. And ultimately, the kind of the PvE world needs more love from Blizzard. Mm. It's one of those areas that has been severely neglected because just the nature of... when you look at, you know, at BlizzCon, there were the arena finals.
Yeah.
There was no PvE, let's see who can kill the boss quickest finals.
There were no world-firster things, you know, or whatever. Yeah.
Exactly. So for those sorts of things, it can just be quite frustrating. So I don't know. Personally, I can understand why these people are coming from a place of, man, should we really be that cool to Blizzard? Because I don't feel like they're that cool to us. Mm. You know, we put a lot of time and love into this game as well.
Sure.
And it kind of feels like, you know, they've let this bug slip that I believe was, I don't know if it was recognized on the PTR. I think it was. But, you know, at least there's people out there who kind of recognize that, you know, the bug is an actual bug.
Sure.
So,
well, yeah, okay. So here's the philosophical question. Is
okay.
I mean, it's a bug. It's Blizzard's bug, and they rely in a lot of cases. If it doesn't get reported or found out or discovered in PTR, they have to rely on the player base to say, "Oh, it looks like there's something up with this." So they rely on those reports to fix some of those things. If it's a known bug, that's one thing where it's like, "Oh, guys, we can go in there and totally take down this boss without having to, you know, work for it or whatever." But if there's a team who discovers, you know, by accident that, well, all right, when we were testing this, if the tank died, we could do this. But now when the tank dies, she never breathes again. Like, that's them reporting the bug. I mean, like, they did everything that they could. And then what is on Blizzard's plate at that point? Does Blizzard say, all right, well, then this amount of time we have to A, acknowledge it, B, get out in front of this, fix it so that it's no longer an issue? Or do we let another, you know, Mythic Guild take it down and then this other team go, well, wait, okay, well, I guess if they did it, I guess we can go ahead and do it.
I just think if they come in and just kind of have the referee shirt on and say, yeah, your kill was invalid, you used an exploit, we're not going to ban you, but that was unintended, you know, things, you need to go back and do it again. We've reset your lockout. There'll be no loot this time, but if you want to go back and try it properly, go ahead.
Yeah.
Something to that effect, I think, could work. At the same time, Blizzard's a lot smarter than me, and they have a lot better ideas, but it just kind of feels like it should be coming from a place of being fair. And that's why there's bans. Is it's almost like, you know, we're going to give some love, but we're going to be firm as well. We're going to say, look, you know, you can only push it so far before we turn around and say, you know, hold on, you're taking the mic now. This is too much. And I think that's where I just feel like there's more Blizzard could do. And I think, again, coming from a place of understanding that these aren't people, these aren't their enemies. Mm-hmm. These aren't people trying to exploit their game for ill, you know, they are literally people just looking to enjoy all that the game has to have.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Plus, there's mitigating circumstances like, oh, they've been here since 2006 and they've been cranking on raiding ever since. And You don't treat them the same as somebody who snuck in the back and went, ah, look at this, and then ran out again.
Yeah, you don't look at them and go like, oh, these guys are nefarious. They've got it out for our game.
Yeah.
You know, that they're trying to make everyone else's play experience worse. You know, that isn't the case.
Right.
And we know that isn't
the case. It's like somebody with 20 years experience at a company coming in late and getting fired on the spot because there's a rule about new people who just were hired last week who came in late. And firing them on the spot. It doesn't... It seems like there should be mitigation there.
Exactly. I completely understand that there is going to be scenarios where, you know, this is something that you're going to see people will, you know, step over the line.
Yeah.
And that Blizzard does have to come down hard on certain people. And again, here we're getting, you know, their side of the story. We're not necessarily getting the whole story.
Sure.
But you still kind of come away with the impression that it wasn't all that bad.
Yeah.
And ultimately, again, there's a softer approach to this than the one that Blizzard ended up taking. And yeah, these are the people that used to drive the game forward. It was those aspirational end game players that were clearing these bosses and killing it. We got LFR now. We can see kind of what the fight looks and experience that ourselves.
Yeah.
But it isn't the same. And it is just one of those things where you come away feeling, you know, maybe, just maybe there was something more.
That's super interesting. I'd never really looked at it this way. One of the side effects of LFR, well, there's lots of side effects, right? We've talked about them before. There's plenty of good side effects too, but there, some of the negative things, one of the ones I never considered was that now that I can go see all that content relatively simply and easily, and if I just am not interested in in-game raiding with some, you know, with a team and we're organized and everything, I've basically seen everything I was going to get out of it if I don't care about the specific tactics. So in other words, the video walkthroughs are no longer, ooh, look at this stuff I'll never see. How cool. Oh my gosh, this team's amazing. I love them. And now it's just, oh, well, they're just doing a more complicated dance I've already done for free. Like, I didn't think about that. It waters that down so that those people who might have looked to us to be PvE heroes in the past are now just, you know, they're doing a hard thing, but we no longer have to vicariously live it through them. We can just go see it and be done.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. Hadn't thought of that before. All right. Let's talk about this first person engine thing. It's been all over the place. It's a couple weeks now, or a week now, since it was announced. But Blizzard Entertainment is seeking an experienced engineer. This is their own quote, to work on a robust first person engine for an unannounced project. That means a game that we have not heard of, or I don't know. You could interpret that to mean a lot of things.
What is Tom Chilton up to?
What's he doing?
God damn it. What are you doing, children?
He's down the hall. Maybe it's someone else. Something creepy.
But we don't know exactly. This sounds like it could be down in someone's hall.
I think that this game, or whatever it is, this project, is probably not building a new first-person engine. I think this is probably taking the already robust Overwatch engine and doing something with it. I could be wrong on that, but I can't imagine a company would think it would be smart to invest in two first-person engines. They would either modify one or use the same thing. So I think this is, they need engineers to come in and like flesh that thing out to be another game, another IP, another whatever. Nobody knows, so I wanted to pass it around to see if you guys had any predictions about what you think this project could be. And do you think Chilton's
PvE
in charge?
PvE Overwatch. Right. I don't think it's a new game.
Yeah.
It's an unannounced project. It doesn't need to be a whole new game.
Right.
So if you were doing a story mode Overwatch something, maybe that. I don't know. I just don't think that there's another game, but maybe.
I think that...
Yeah, another game seems a little crazy right now, right? Mm. I mean, Overwatch is still very new.
Yeah.
Right. So either I think you're probably right, Scott. It's either something to continue work on the Overwatch engine or to kind of transfer something that we already have into a bit more of a first person experience.
Yeah.
And not necessarily, you know, a perfect one.
Because is Overwatch made in their own engine or is it Unity?
It's their own engine. They built that thing from scratch. Well, whatever was left from the Titan business, that's the engine.
Oh really? Yeah. Okay. Because obviously Hearthstone's built in Unity and the frustrations they have there are every time there's a patch, you've got to download like 2 gigs of stuff on mobile.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
It's stupid, right?
And it's one of those things where they can't really fix it. Either Unity has to change everything or they have to build a whole new engine.
Right.
And so it, in some ways it was great because it allowed Blizzard to be super agile and do stuff that you wouldn't otherwise do. But equally as well, it's a bit like, oh, come on, guys.
Well, they sometimes had a 33% extra tri-class cards.
Sure, you know? Sure.
Yeah.
But the advantage of going with Unity on that was you already had a built-in sort of multi-platform ready to go on mobile, desktop, and everything else. Like you could just sort of put it out there and go.
But
what if they made a Heroes experience similar to Paragon or Smite?
Mm. Oh, interesting.
What if they gave you a game mode where you got to stand behind your hero?
Could be
interesting. I don't think this is what they're doing.
They're not. Yeah, but, no, but it's a fun what if. It's a fun what if. Yeah. No, I mean, I've been going through my head trying to figure it out. I think Terps is probably on the right track. My personal prediction is it is a, given the success of the Halloween event and other things that I think Overwatch lends itself to, I think it's some sort of expansion. I don't mean in the traditional expansion way, but an expansion to what we're doing in Overwatch. Some sort of PvE element.
Or story mode type of
story
thing.
Story mode, absolutely. Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm sure that that's actually probably it, but what I secretly want is different. What I want, I mean, I want that, don't get me wrong, but what I want is the next phase for what are we doing with the StarCraft IP, and I want there to be some sort of...
StarCraft Ghost! It's coming back!
I don't need it to be a stealth third-person action game like Ghost was supposed
you
to
think
be.
You don't.
But what
you
I want...
You Scott, but you do.
I want a...
I can see J. Allen Brack now. You think you don't, but you do. And I'm like, you're right, Jay. I do.
I want a first-person, story-driven, put me in space even better... And let me do like freelancer style. Like I want to fly my ship around. I want to land on planets. I want to do missions. I mean, I'm not looking for an MMO. I'm looking for like a, you know, I'm looking for freelancer in the StarCraft universe is what I'm looking for. And
you think you do, but you don't.
I love freelancer. I know I do, and I love the StarCraft universe. I'm absolutely all up in this if that's what they're doing. I'm not saying they are. I've no, for all I know, Dill's Heroes prediction would be more accurate than mine. But I want that, but I will take a PVE, component to Overwatch. I would absolutely take that. So we'll see. I don't know. Nobody knows what they're doing over there. Then again,
well, do they know?
Well, I don't know. Somebody knows.
I think they know. I think Blizzard knows.
Yeah. Now, if it's a whole new IP, a whole new IP seems really unlikely though, right? Like even if it's a single player focused game or squad based sort of Destiny style co-op experience or something, even if it's that, it just feels like too soon to have one more game on that launcher. I don't know, like at what point does Blizzard go, oh, we've got too many video games that we make? You know, like I do, that it feels like the opposite of what you'd ever say about Blizzard for the last 20 years, but we are now living in a time where if they add one more new video game to that launcher over there, it's starting to be crowded.
Too many.
Yeah. I mean, is that possible? I guess it is.
No, because I think originally as well, you've got to look at their Activision Blizzard as well when you look at the companies at large.
Yeah.
And you've got to think that that launcher is a lot more clean and succinct than Steam. So if they did want to, say, introduce that to just other games, you know, if you were to get Call of Duty to be available on there, I don't see why they wouldn't want something like that.
Mm, interesting. Well, I'm all for a story-driven FPS, so bring it on. I don't want another multiplayer FPS. I don't think that's even in the cards. But an expansion in a single-player way or a co-op way with Overwatch would be amazing. And congratulations to Overwatch, by the way. It won Game of the Year last night at the Video Game Awards.
Oh, yeah.
Video Game of the Year. Somehow, I don't know, some of those awards are weird. Like Action Game of the Year went to Doom, which I agree with. It was a fantastic game. But it's I don't know. It's a weird distinction. It's like here's action game, first person shooter, and here's best game of the year, which is also totally all about action. I don't know. It's weird. Those categories are
it's
weird.
It's just how they vote and stuff, and equally, you know, there might be certain components of the genre that Doom does better than Overwatch, but actually when you take the game as a whole, in terms of what's the best game, not necessarily the best action game, I think Overwatch obviously clearly comes out on top.
I think so too.
It's exciting. I think it's great. It's great to see. It's cleaned up over here in the UK. Loads of awards. I was at the Esports Awards a week or so ago. They cleaned up there. They picked up like best new esport. And you've got to think, you know, in a world where esports drive longevity in games, that's a really good one to get.
Yeah.
It's a great place for them to be. You know, it'd be exciting to see how far it goes.
What was who won last night's esports game of the year? I don't remember. Crap. Was it? It may have been Counter Strike.
Sure. Why not?
That's doing
really
good.
My favorite thing out of it was Jeff Keighley doing this whole speech about him and Hideo Kojima and how they're like best friends. but he was listing off his character attributes and basically ended up giving them the middle finger. And you can see in his eyes when he's like, "Oh my, damn it! I just flipped the bird at the whole world. Oh, piss!" You know, you can see that. I love that moment of realization.
I missed
as Keighley's just like.
I totally missed that. That was weird.
I've done it. I've messed up. I shouldn't have, but I did.
Yeah. Speaking of other...
I think I did, but I didn't.
Speaking of other Overwatch things, Symmetra is getting some major, major, major changes. This is nothing super new, so we won't spend a lot of time on it. But if you are into Symmetra, you're about to get a second ultimate. This according to Jeff Kaplan via his latest development video. When her ultimate is charged, you will light up just as before, but you now have a choice. You basically can toggle between them, and you can either do her teleporter, which she currently does now, or there is a big shield generator that has a huge radius and will protect the entire team. He says it's kind of on par with what you get out of, in a more temporary sense, out of what's his name's dome. Can I think of his name all of a sudden? Winston. And, you know, the shield that Reinhardt's always generating, it's very similar to that. But give it to everybody. Much more utilitarian, especially in clutch situations when the timer's running down and things are on the line. It makes her immediately more pickable and usable in like control maps and things like that, where right now she's
exactly, because what used to happen is that you'd have her for point A, you'd lose point A, and then you'd be kind of 90%, maybe even at have your ult, and it would just be useless. You'd be like, well, what? I don't want to use this now. There's no point using this now.
Yep.
So it makes a lot of sense that they've done it this way. It would be exciting to see if they do anything more. It seems like, having played her, she's also got a new ability where she projects a shield.
Yeah.
So basically you have one of her turrets that has a small kind of Reinhardt-esque shield, but it continues along a path till it burns out.
Mm.
So you can then end up kind of pushing a lane, and everyone kind of groups up and runs with the shield. It's quite nice. It has a lot of momentum behind it. I think it's really cool.
She's getting some good love. The way she was being played up till recently was get her at first, put her sentries all over the place, game starts, and then get changed to someone else. That's how it's been going with her. And they didn't like that, obviously. They want her to get play in way more situations than that. So those changes are on the PTR. You can check those out now. They are not live on the live servers for Season 3, which also launched this week, but expected to see her anytime.
Yeah, yesterday. It all happened yesterday, man.
Yesterday was a big day for Blizzard.
Big day.
Weirdly.
Big day.
It's usually Tuesdays for most stuff.
It was very strange. I was not expecting Mean Streets to come out, but I equally, it's quite nice when Blizzard starts to do things differently and they don't get too stuck to their formula.
Yeah.
And so, it makes a lot of sense where Hearthstone Team 5, they're looking at each other and saying, like, we release a lot of games each year, really. We have a lot of releases, a lot more than anyone else. Mm-hmm. Do we want to be kind of at the, kind of behest of the rest of the company in the, you can't do that Tuesday, we're doing that Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's when, Season 5 is dropping on Overwatch. It's nice to see that they're just like, we're just going to put it out. It's ready to go. Why not?
Maybe.
December, start of the season, makes a lot of sense for them. I love it.
Yeah. I also kind of like the, the improvisational feel of it. Like, it just kind of happened out of nowhere and all my Hearthstone friends freaked out. It was great. It was fun to watch.
By the way, you have to do that with a card game, put out releases all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing they're kind of doing too is they're kind of moving away from, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but the launcher doesn't say Heroes of Warcraft anymore.
No, yeah, so it's just Hearthstone. So new logo. It's got like a longer R.
Oh.
So it's a slightly brighter color.
They may be pulling back on... We were talking about this. I would obviously welcome non-Hearthstone cards coming into Hearthstone. Non-Warcraft cards. And we kind of have that now. They're inventing their own.
Exactly. That's what I wasn't sure if they were like, come on, guys. We've just introduced a whole city that doesn't exist in the way it is. Maybe we shouldn't be calling this, Heroes of Warcraft.
Yeah.
But
that was the thinking, that it's just we're moving into creating lore, World of Warcraft lore, but still within essentially within the Warcraft universe. But I would love to see them just expand into whatever, right? And stop having a rule about it. And just be like, hey, it's just a card game now,
we can do anything we want. Sure. Here's Jim Raynor.
We want to make Genji a card. We can do it.
Totally.
Right? What's stopping us?
Oh, my gosh.
So, on the new board, there's a sword where if you click it, the green dragon from Genji comes out.
Listen,
not to say that he's the only one with green dragons, but
if what you're suggesting essentially is that it could become the CCG equivalent to what Heroes of the Storm is in terms of Blizzard IPs, and maybe not quite that extent, not that far, because it still has its roots in Warcraft.
Sure.
But that idea that none of that stuff is sacrosanct and you could move some of that around, I'd be all up
in
that.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, to me, it just seems, and I've always kind of been this way, like, it just seems silly to make up a rule for yourself, right? Mm-hmm. That, like, why? Why does it have to be this way? Yeah. It doesn't have to be this way.
Yeah.
It can be any way we want it, right?
Gameplay first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's super interesting.
It can be however we like it, and that's what, you know, and that's what it is. And so, I don't know. Like, to me, it's fine to do that. And I, like, we were talking about the Angry Chicken. Jocelyn was a little bit like, eh, from a lore perspective, I'd rather there's not, like, another Heroes.
Oh, boo-hoo.
Yeah, I know. But I was like, why? Yeah. Let's just have fun. Like, I don't know. Like, to
come
me,
on!
Rules
are
stupid.
Who doesn't want to have a Genji? I want to have a Hanzo. Only a Shamina can control the Jade Idols.
Yeah.
I'd be like, yeah, man. Or Jade Golems. But
you get it.
Excited.
Gets it.
I'd be super into, all I can think about is Diablo cards for whatever reason. That's all I can think about. But,
wow, that's all you can ever think about. Let's
it's
be honest.
That's true. If I'm being honest, I still love me some Diablo. All right, let's see. Heroes of the Storm, strap in for Ragnaros comes out. We think PTR. Wait, is he on the PTR now? No. PTR next week, release the following?
I think.
Or is he out now?
Is he already
on PTR?
On PTR? I don't know.
He might be. Crap. I meant to check this before. I don't think he is yet. I could be wrong. Anyway, that hero's great. Played him extensively at BlizzCon. Cannot wait to see what that dude is like on Braxis Hold, for example. Given the fact, or hold out, or hide out, whatever the hell it is. What is it? Braxis Hold. Just Braxis Hold.
Braxis Hold out.
Yeah. The freaking Zerg launch thing and that, he will do some serious things post 10, so I'm super jazzed about that. Been playing a lot of heroes lately, and he's going to make a really interesting addition to that game in a way that, I don't know, may represent how a good template for how you're going to bring other boss-style characters into the game. I realized that
people were chatting about a while ago the Overmind, and they're like, you could have the Overmind be the core, so you don't even move, you're just sat there kind of like Abathur, but even more immobile at the back, doing stuff and interacting with people, but you know, obviously you have some insane abilities, and I love it when kind of Heroes does these things though, where they just break the mold.
Again, it's like, very, you know, it's very much you're saying with Hearthstone. They're very much going, all right, well, we could just adhere to whatever the MOBA thinking of the day is. Instead, we want to do weird shit and just do it all the time and make it work somehow. And
like, you know, my intimate life.
Yeah,
it's
like
all
that.
About the weird
shit.
Yeah,
you're always bringing out the you know, the big guns or whatever you do there.
Damn right.
Gross. Let's see. So that's coming. What else? Oh, I did want to say this. Like, when I look at, well, it's not true today because there's a lot of Hearthstone people, but as of like Wednesday this week, I look at the launcher. Huge numbers of my friends and heroes right now, and I don't know what that means. I think that crossover deal worked pretty well for them. I think it actually did what it was intended to do. Made a lot of people on Reddit go, oh, I used to play League, and then I played Overwatch a ton, and I came over to get this skin, and I didn't realize that Heroes was this fun. I'm going to keep playing this. What's going on over here in this game? And I think that worked for them. I was a little skeptical about it.
It makes a huge amount of sense when you compare it to the reality of trying to go after... like Hearthstone and Warcraft players.
Oh, for sure.
There's not the same value.
Sure. I absolutely agree. Also, it makes sense.
I think a lot of people play like Overwatch, mm-hmm. but they just think I just don't like MOBAs.
Yeah.
A lot of people just kind of think I don't like MOBAs.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a default stance.
This,
I had like, this.
But you'll like this one.
This was me a few years ago. I had, that was me you're describing, and Heroes changed that for me. So I think a lot
because
of people.
Because it's not. Like a MOBA, it's and it is now more than it was, but it still is to me. It's like, take those people, throw them into Dota, and they're gonna be like, yeah, I don't like MOBAs. I just proved it to myself,
right?
You know,
right.
But take those people and throw them into Heroes, and they're like, oh my god, this is super fun.
Yeah.
So, because it's just it doesn't follow the same rules. So
I don't know what's going on. They're just killing
it's working
it right
out.
Now. It's working out real well. So keep it up there, team. What are they, two? I don't know what they are. One. One team.
Sure.
Two's Diablo, isn't it?
Oh, is it? So it's one then. Isn't it team
one? Yeah, I think they're team one.
Yeah, I think that's
right.
Or
are they a new team? Are they part of the StarCraft team?
They're part of the StarCraft team. It's still the same team.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
I think. All right, fellow video and audio entrepreneurs, people that are making cool content out there. One of the problems we run into is we need stuff like, I don't know, lower thirds and intros and background stuff and better green screen plans and listen, I understand if that's all you're doing is making that stuff, great. But then when do you have time to actually do the video production? So what do? You go online, you try to find a sort of stock footage, stock audio kind of place. We've all tried. We've all been there. We've all done it. I am here to tell you the best deal I have found and the most versatile I found is VideoBlocks. It's an affordable subscription-based stock media site that gives you unlimited access to premium stock footage, be that video or audio blocks, which is what they call their unlimited access to premium stock audio clips. So podcasters, listen up. You've got a really great value with unlimited download models. And I like that. I don't want to pay for, oh, you get access to it for a day, or you only have access to this particular category, and they have it all segmented out. No, it's unlimited. Unlimited daily downloads from a library of 115,000 plus video clips, After Effects templates, motion backgrounds, and more. Audioblocks alone has 130,000 plus music tracks, sound effects, loops, all that stuff. On average, subscribers played less than $1 per download over the course of a year. That is really incredible. I'm going to totally use these guys. I am using these guys. What am I saying? I'm totally using it now. You can expect some video stuff from me coming soon on YouTube using content I got from VideoBlocks. It's the same quality you'd get from expensive stock sites at a much cheaper price, and they are continuously adding new stuff all the time. You're looking for aerials, international locations, slow motion, nature shots? It's all in there. Simple, unrestricted licensing on VideoBlocks and AudioBlocks. Almost said audio books. I meant audio blocks. Everything is 100% royalty free, even after the subscription has come to an end. So that stuff doesn't suddenly DRM up and you can't use it. Once you're in, you get the stuff. Royalty free for both personal and commercial projects without any additional licensing fees. Nothing annual. Nothing at all. So here's what I want you to do. VideoBlocks is offering my listeners a year's subscription to both VideoBlocks and AudioBlocks for $149 total. That is $100 off the usual price tag. That is for Instance listeners only. An incredible discounted deal. And you get both all that stock video and audio for any project you may be working on or have planned for the future. Get your year subscription today for only $149 at videoblocks.com/instance2016. That's videoblocks.com/instance2016. Go there today. These guys are awesome.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why? It's the Town Crier.
All right, let's get to these here. We get feedback from you guys all the time. The email address to use is theinstance@gmail.com, or you can leave us voicemails at 801-471-0462, like this person did.
Hey, Instance crew. This is John Paul Diego in Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm just going on a jog listening to your conversation about how the Warcraft movie supposedly lost $15 to $30 million. And you guys are all making great points, but I also wanted to point out that when you're financing movies, there's a big difference between being on payroll for the studio, production company, et cetera, and being an investor. And most times in Hollywood, people would rather be on payroll than a straight-up investor. So the movie probably did lose money because everybody in the studios paid themselves handsomely. So I think they'll absolutely make two sequels at least, and just keep paying themselves all that sweet China money. Anyways, thanks for the show. Perfect running soundtrack, and we'll keep listening. Thank you.
All right, so
that sweet China money.
Sweet China money. You guys like
I'm all
some
about
that.
The China money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I obviously understand what they're talking about here, and that Hollywood accounting is horrendous.
Yeah.
Empire Strikes Back didn't make a profit, apparently. Forrest Gump famously made no profit.
Yeah.
And so they went to the author to try and secure the rights to the sequels. Mm. And he was like, well, you know, because he had a deal that paid him on the net profits,
right.
Not the gross. And so he ended up, he said to them, why would you want to make a movie about one that made no money?
Yeah.
You know, why would you want to make another one? Because he obviously knew that he'd been screwed out of the money that he would have been due because it's all paid out to their own production companies, their own staff, they're on salary. And, you know, they basically eat it up in cost. So the entity itself makes no money.
Yeah, that's weird. I mean, it seems so limiting. Like eventually you're going to run out of. No, I guess we're seeing
no,
that
because
now.
It's all about, there's always, you know, someone newborn every day that they can go and take advantage of and offer this great deal on paper. You know, you're going to get 20% of the box office net profits. You're like, wow. And you're like, so what are you expecting? Well, you know, we expect this thing, you know, to, we could make anywhere up to like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, that sounds amazing. Yeah, great. Well, that'd be amazing for me. And then it works out that, oh, no, technically it didn't make any money because we spent so much marketing it. But also I own the marketing company. So, you know, that company did okay. But we're not spending 20% with you guys. So that's not as useful to you, I guess, in hindsight.
Yep, that's true.
Just Hollywood accounting.
Hollywood accounting. But, you know, yep.
But it's all part of the fun. It's the game.
Sweet China money is what we want.
Sweet China money. That's what
I
it's about.
I like China.
He likes China.
China.
China, right?
China?
Yeah, we got
this. I'd love to see more Warcraft movies, though.
Oh,
yes. That'd be great. I don't care. I don't care what the Hollywood accounting is. I don't care how it works. I don't care about any of that. Just put more Warcraft in front of my face, okay?
Yeah, you keep the accounting to yourselves. Just make us more of these movies.
You guys figure it out, okay? Yeah,
work it out. Make another one. I wonder if they, will they? I don't know. I'm not so sure these days. I have this feeling that...
Why not?
Well, everyone talks about...
The thing is that Blizzard would have already signed a contract that means that they aren't able to dictate whether or not they do or not. I imagine, at least.
Yeah.
Most people, they sign a, you know, 3-picture deal to begin with or something like that. There's options in there where if the studio wants to, the studio can do it.
Yeah.
And that's part of how they offset their investment is they're like, guys, I've still got like 4 warehouses filled with Stormwind armor. Okay. We're making another one, you know, or we're going to start selling this stuff off.
Yeah.
So very often it's about kind of making best with what you have. Mm.
Yeah.
And so for Blizzard, it's just about, you know, okay, cool. Well, I guess, you know, I guess we're making another one.
It just seems like we would have heard something by now. That's all. Like, usually
I think the best thing for us would be for Blizzard to get really, really, really screwed over in this whole process to the point where they say, you know what? We're just going to make our own movies from now on.
Yeah,
and then that animation team gets that budget, gets that headcount, starts making Overwatch, you know, animated movies rather than shorts.
Yeah.
Oh man, that'd be so good.
Yeah, even if
that's only going to happen if they get screwed.
Do you think it's possible that they had a clause in this contract that said this does not preclude Blizzard from going its own way if it decides to with animated feature or short feature Warcraft?
I would imagine that Warcraft is probably excluded from that, but who knows?
Maybe.
Who knows?
I don't know. Like maybe I don't know. I always heard that there were like animation exceptions for things. Like you can. You know, Michael Bay can make his Transformers movies, but you can make Transformers cartoons with other deals.
You can license in that way. It just depends how it's licensed. Mm. And maybe Blizzard, because they make regular CG trailers for their franchises, that obviously they would secure the rights to continue being able to make CG trailers.
Yeah.
So yeah, why not?
I'm curious how that'll all pan out, but I'm with Dills. Let's get more of it. Let's make it. Let's get it in our face. Let's have some, you know. Whatever. More fell magic.
And
for
if
me
we
to...
can get in on that sweet Chinese money,
yeah,
I'm all about that.
Oh, that Chinese money, dude. Oh, does it have holes in it like Canadian money? Anyway, hey, look at this email.
Maybe.
We got an
I
email.
Think after you get it, you want some more. I think that's the problem.
Is that how it works?
You're never satisfied.
Yeah.
Always want more.
That's right. Jackaloper from the Arthas server wrote in, said, guys, I am in that place again. I log in and I'm not entirely sure what I want to do, so I log out and play something else. Do you wish Blizzard would focus on endgame content that was more focused on story and leveling and world content rather than raids and mythics and such, or at least spend as much time on that as they do the other? I think that would give me more to do when I log in. This expansion is amazing, but I feel like I am reaching the end of where I can do much that is new. Maybe the next patch? I don't know. Love to hear your opinions, Jackaloper. Well, I mean, that wall is different for everybody, right? Some people are loving where mythics have taken them and where raids are right now and what's coming next. But I think even for those who just want world content, the game's never been better than it is right now. But maybe for some, that's still not enough. I don't know.
I could see what he's saying a little bit, because I think if you are logging in every day and doing world questing and stuff, I could definitely see that getting a little old, right? Which is why I don't do that, because I don't want the game to feel old to me. It still feels really, really good and fresh. So I've been logging in and doing something slightly different every single day, right? Mm-hmm. So some days it's like PvP, some days it's world questing, and some days it's like Karazhan or Mythics or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. So you just gotta, like, it's definitely not at all like Warlords was with the Garrison, and I don't think it ever will be.
Right.
Because that was just like a thing you felt like you had to do, right?
Right.
None of this stuff still to me feels like it's stuff you have to do. I mean, just take a break if you need to, you know? Yeah. I think when you come back, it'll feel good again.
Yeah.
The game is in a really good spot right now. So
I agree. I mean, we are at that stage where if you just eat everything you like, there may be things left, but they're just the parts you don't like as much or you don't care about. Maybe this is the expansion to experiment in those things and see more. You know, they're more accessible than ever, so why not see what it might take to get mythics done with groups and then what it might take to attune yourself for Karazhan and go relive that. Like, there's plenty to do, but if all you're looking to do is to get in and do the 20-minute thing, you know, maybe there isn't as much for you. You know, you're sick of leveling tunes and you don't want to do world questing anymore. Well, maybe there isn't so much for that guy. I don't know. I think it's a valid point, but I also think it's always been the valid point. Like, it's never not been true. It was true in vanilla. Like, at some point you hit 60 and you had to decide, am I going to go do Molten Core or whatever's here? Or am I going to be out of things to do? You know, that it's always been the same. And that's just MMOs from day one. It's not like these worlds have, you know, emergent dynamic things that happen out of nowhere. Like, a cave's not going to spring up suddenly with a bunch of content.
WoW's a weird game, right? Because you don't beat it.
Right.
You don't get to the point where you're like, cool, I did it. You know, I don't get to Torment 10. And I'm like, all right, sweet. You just keep going, you know, and that's just kind of how World of Warcraft is. So
yeah.
Just keep going, man. I don't know. Like,
keep you playing.
Yeah. The other thing too is it's on you to like find the things in World of Warcraft because there is so much, right?
Right.
And I still constantly find things that I've never done and I've been playing the game forever. And sometimes I log in, I'm just like, let's just look through my achievements. Oh my God, how am I missing this? Mm-hmm. You know? And I go off and do some weird thing I've never done. So
yeah. Achievements are fun as a checklist like that. I like to go in there and go, what? I didn't explore that tiny corner of Pandaria. What the hell's wrong with me? Mm. And I'll go do it. And then
how did I miss
it? Have you got your Pathfinder? Do you have your 20% additional mount speed now?
No.
So again, I mean, that's something where it's just like, okay, cool. I log in each week, do the world boss. I'm going to make sure I've explored every area of the Broken Isles. Mm-hmm. You know, those sorts of things, you know, genuinely do make a big difference.
Yeah. And they can be fun if you just look at them. If you love questing, just look at that as a big ass quest.
Oh man, 100%.
Yeah, it's totally fun. So check it out there, Jackaloper. There's plenty of game for you still. And if not, go play Heroes for a while and mess around in Hearthstone, and then come back. And you know, you got plenty on that launcher to do. It's all good.
Yeah,
that's what I love.
Keep you busy.
About. Yeah, plenty to do over there. All right, that's gonna do it for the show. Big thanks for the phone call and the email. Again, that address is theinstance@gmail.com. You can also call us as ever at 801-471-0462. Terps, you're in the middle of a big charity drive. Every year you do this. How's it going? Where can people find it?
It's going amazing, like too well at the moment. It's really, really nuts how well it's going. So we started off yesterday. You can go over to humblebundle.com/yogscast where you can see we've got the Twitch stream embedded on there. But the important thing is we've got a bundle. There's kind of 60 plus gaming items in there worth over $650. And we're asking for donations of higher than $30 to get those. Goat Sim was the latest one added today.
Yeah.
So each day we're adding a new game or revealing a new game. If you get it, if you buy it now, you get it. We've already sold close to 15,000 bundles. We've only got 50. So if you want to get it, get there quick. It's helping 6 fantastic charities plus a 7th of your choosing. So on Humble, you can click a box, type in a cause or something that's close to you. And go from there, and hopefully you enjoy it because you know we love it.
Yeah.
So keep it coming. So that's humblebundle.com/yogscast. We're currently just shy of kind of nearly $500,000, and this is just over a day. It's been insane, the reception and response. It's a great deal, great way to get yourself a load of free games. $30. But you know, a load of games for very cheap for Christmas. You can give them as presents or you can keep them for yourself. It's well worthwhile.
They're currently 25. There are 25,000 people watching them play Dungeons and Dragons right now. So
lots
to do, lots to see. Go
there's a lot of nerds doing a lot of cool things. So we appreciate it.
All right, awesome. The_T on Twitter, of course. You can follow Terpster's exploits throughout this day and all of the future right there.
Yes.
Dills, what's going on? Anything cool you got going on right now?
Well, I did just Don Hancho my doppelganger. So that was cool. That is not a euphemism. That is a thing you can do in Hearthstone. That was sweet. But you could check me out on Twitter at Willie Dills, and then the stream. We'll be doing a lot of streaming over the weekend. Today, my mom is leaving, going back to San Francisco, so I'm going to be hanging with her tonight. But this entire weekend, I should be streaming lots and lots of Mean Streets and Gadgets and stuff.
Yeah.
And there's lots of fun stuff going on there, so come on by and check it out.
Yeah, I caught some of the stream yesterday. It was great. People should be checking that out. Again, that's twitch.tv/WillieDillsSF. And, of course, Willie Dills on Twitter. You can find everything I'm doing at Scott Johnson on Twitter. Of course, frogpants.com for other shows like this if you are interested in said things. I will also be doing some streaming this weekend. Going to be streaming a bunch of Hitman, which I really freaking like
amazing.
A lot.
Are you going to go for the new special contact or whatever it's called, the contract?
You know, I want to. I love that. I love it. It's like it's almost like that game's it's weirdly an MMO in a way because they put in these dynamic chunks of new things to do around holidays or just otherwise where it's like, oh, there's a new secret contact or a dude you got to assassinate and he's only here for today. Like, it's really cool that they're doing that. That game went from I was the most skeptical about it ever to it might be my game of the year.
Oh, it's one of those games that basically, whilst it was released and had a box and all the rest, was a AAA, you know, early access game.
Yeah.
In that now when you play it, there is so much to do.
Yeah.
But when you bought it day one, you're like, okay, 2-3 zones. Okay.
Yeah.
Is there anything more?
Yeah.
I mean, I know I can replay it, but is there more?
They've really done right by it. Yeah. They've done really right by it. I think it's awesome. Maybe that's the new first person engine they're working on at Blizzard and they'll make a Hitman game. And they'll call it Hitman
cool.
Jim Raynor Hitman. Hitman Jim Raynor.
Yeah, it's about time.
It's about time. All right. Anyway, so go check all that out, everybody.
Oh, Sarah, don't do this to me, Sarah. I miss you so much, baby. That's what it'd be.
I think you're doing Tychus, but that's all right.
That's what I do. He's the same. It's the same. He's just Jim with more balls.
Oh, I see.
It's fine.
All right. Fine. Yeah. Anyway, thank you all for listening and watching. May your days be filled with joy and happiness this holiday season. We'll see you next week.
Sophisticated hack rolls Azeroth years into the past. It's the Overly Dramatic News, I'm Hunts the Wind. After what, by all accounts, was a highly successful BlizzCon, Blizzard employees were shocked to discover that every World of Warcraft server had been pwned by a band of Russian hackers. The scope of the damage was revealed when the servers were restarted on the Tuesday after the con. Suddenly, the entire game had been rolled back to where it stood after it was first released. The message of the day stated that since Blizzard was unwilling to provide original world realms, the hackers would take matters into their own hands and, quote, make Azeroth great again, unquote. Players quickly discovered, however, that this new Azeroth was not just like it was back in 2004. Trade Prince Galliwix had allied himself with the Legion and taken control of the Horde. Guards in Stormwind were hostile to Night Elf Druids, continually emoting that they were an abomination to the light and were not welcome. And the Dwarves of Ironforge, afraid of radiation poisoning, had constructed a wall sealing off Nomragon and exiled all gnomes from the Dwarven capital. The hackers were so thorough in their takeover that Blizzard engineers say it will take at least 4 years to regain control of the servers. BioWare reports a sudden surge in SWTOR subscriptions as thousands of players decide that they no longer want to be trapped in an Azeroth that is gone. Alt Vanilla. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes, get more at frogpants.com.